Welcome to these Bible lessons on the Old Testament. In these lessons, we'll cover God's magnificent creation of all the world, including the creation of man, the crown of God's creation. We'll follow with the sad fall of man in paradise and the consequences this brought to the world. In the continuing lessons, we'll teach how God visits men with the revelation of His covenant of grace. When we travel together through the entire Old Testament, we see God visiting His nation of Israel with revelations of this covenant of grace, pointing constantly to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope these lessons are a blessing to you. Thank you.
Welcome back to our Old Testament Bible History Series. In Lesson 44, A New Generation, we are looking at Deuteronomy 1 through 30. Because of the length of this lesson and the wide variety of topics, we will treat it on its own as a lesson. You will recognize all of the topics, since we have covered them in other lessons already. But at this time in Israel's history, Moses is speaking to the people and reviewing their history with them. We will focus on a few verses that seem to be highlights in these 30 chapters. So we join the nation of Israel on the plains of Moab at the end of their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. We're going to listen to Moses for one last time. What do you think he's going to tell us? Moses, Caleb, and Joshua are the only ones who remember that great escape from slavery 40 years before this. The new generation of Israelites are going to get a history lesson from Moses now. But it will be more than that. It will underline the meaning of what will happen in the future, especially how they are to enter, occupy, and live in the Promised Land. In chapter 1, Moses explains the reason for the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. A journey of 11 days has now turned into a journey of 40 years. The reason was their failure to trust God. In the next two chapters, Moses explains how they were trained in the wilderness to trust God. There are many examples of how God has protected them and provided for them. In chapter 4, Moses emphasizes in his speech to the nation that they're different than other nations. God is their Lord, and they need to show that to other nations in their life. Their strength as a nation is in their obedience to God. The law that God has given to them is a national treasure and was to be treasured, valued, lived, and breathed. This, of course, would mean a right relationship with God and a right worship of Him. It would mean a right relationship with others. The people needed to learn from the example of their fathers and have the law set before them as God's standard for them. In chapter 4, verse 7, Moses declares to the people, "For what nation is there so great, who has God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is, in all things that we call upon Him for?" This is a verse that is in your lesson discussion questions. It is a humbling and encouraging verse. Israel's amazing privilege as a nation is quoted here. Israel's God is pictured or described as a God who is near to them and is ready to hear their prayers and requests. With the law being repeated next, Moses emphasizes to the people that their heart and motives needed to be right before God. Simply doing the right thing wasn't enough, but they had to want to do the right thing also. In the next several chapters, from chapter 6 through 8, Moses recalls several examples from the past or the future of Israel and explains how it should affect their life and relationships. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, we read another verse that appears in your lesson discussion questions. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. We can learn about what our motive is to be in keeping God's commandments. It does not say thou shalt listen to, or thou shalt obey, or thou shalt obey out of fear of punishment. No, it is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, soul, and might. Love to God is to be part of every aspect of our life. Have you been able to picture Moses teaching the people here in one final speech? Let's pause for a moment at chapter 9, because I have something for you to think about. Pride. Everybody has it. There are times when we think that we're just a bit more special than others. We think we have the right answer because we're smarter or better. Something good has happened to us because we somehow deserve it. If you are honest, I think you can recognize that, can't you? Well, the Israelites were no different, and Moses knew it. In this chapter, he describes this pride and attitude as their self-righteousness, as if they had their own righteousness. He calls them stiff-necked. Let's listen to him. Hear, O Israel, today you are going to possess a land where the people are very strong and mightier than you. You will defeat them. But don't forget, it is the Lord who goes before you. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will actually destroy these people like a consuming fire. Don't ever think, Israel, that you have this land because of your own righteousness. Don't ever think that you are somehow better than these people, because you are not. The Lord does all this for his own name's sake, for the promise that he made to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Never be proud of yourself, Israel. Moses then goes on to give them many examples of how they were stiff-necked, of how they resisted God and were so hard to teach and resisted learning. Moses follows this up with a sincere encouragement to worship and obey God with all their heart and soul. In chapter 11, his words are recorded, how Israel's obedience would be met with so many blessings. In the next chapter, Moses pushes them to eliminate, get rid of, all forms of pagan worship from Canaan. He warns against being curious about the pagan worship of the nations they will defeat. In chapter 13, he cautions them against anything that is different from the worship of God alone. Moses covers a variety of topics in the next four chapters. These include the laws of clean and unclean food, tithes, debts, slaves, feasts, judges, trials, And what he knows will be their future desire for a king. Now, in the later part of chapter 18, there's a really nice section for us to pause and think. Moses announces that in the future, sometime, God will raise up another prophet from among them. He will be like Moses, and God will put his own words in his mouth. This prophet will stand between God and the people and show God's truth to the people. This is a promise of the future Messiah. There will be other prophets in the meantime, and Moses shows how the true prophets can be separated from the false prophets. The following chapters record Moses' review of several different laws related to the national life of Israel. They all have a different subject, but all of them deal with the community and the religious life of Israel. In chapter 27, we learn that upon entering the Promised Land, Israel was to split into two groups of six tribes. Six tribes were to be on Mount Gerizim, and six tribes on Mount Ebal. These were two very visible hills in the center of Canaan. Those on Mount Gerizim would pronounce the blessings of the covenant. And those on Mount Ebal would pronounce the curses of the covenant. Additional blessings and curses are recorded in chapter 28. In chapter 29 and 30, we learn of the new generation's renewal of their covenant with God. You know, the first generation broke the covenant with God at Mount Sinai nearly immediately after receiving the law. Now the next generation will give its commitment. The whole nation is called together and reminded by a speech from Moses of all that God has done for them. He has been their rescuer, their protector, their guide, their deliverer. Obedience to this great God is required of them. They know of God's great power to bring blessings and curses to them. Moses reminds them that their only hope is God's covenant promises to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Their responsibility is theirs since they have the law. They know it, and they know what is required of them. Obedience will come as a result of God's covenant faithfulness. Disobedience is their own terrible choice. Moses concludes his speech with these words, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." This brings us to an end of this lesson on a new generation. In our next lesson, we will learn about the solemn events of Moses' last days.